Hello. I cannot believe I am saying this, doing this right now, but welcome back to another episode of Behind the Rainbow. It has been 3 years since I have recorded a podcast episode, and I've gotten so many people randomly in the past few months coming up to me, DMing me, being like, "You need to bring your podcast back." And I've been like, "Yeah, not gonna happen." And then things happen in the most unexpected and random ways. I, wanted to do this like Instagram live and video with Eliza Ben Shalom, who is the queen of Jewish matchmaking on Jewish Matchmaking. And we ended up talking on Zoom for 40 minutes. And I was like, there's no way that I can just make this a 1 minute clip. I feel like people really need to listen to this whole episode. So why don't I just make a one-off podcast episode? And we'll see how this goes. Maybe this is the return of Behind the Rainbow. If you don't know me, my name is Elaine Chaya. I am the host of this show. You can find me on Instagram at Elaine Chaya. I'll put my handle in the show notes. I started Behind the Rainbow 3 or 4 years ago at this point to really have conversations about what we don't see on Instagram. My whole persona is, happiness and joy and rainbows and unicorns, but that's not real life. That's only a glimmer and glimpse and highlight reels of what's going on. And so I created Behind the Rainbow to kind of have conversations with people about real topics and real things. And there's nothing realer than dating. And so I'm excited for you guys to hear this episode. I created this in spirit of Hanukkah and the war going on in the Middle East, but I think this is relatable if you're Jewish or not to dating all around. And I like to hit the hard-hitting questions, and I asked Lisa some good ones. So I'm hoping that some of these questions might be ones that you have answers to and that this episode can inspire you. So enjoy this episode. Please comment in the show notes on my podcast page. I'm so rusty with the like follow like kind of messaging you gotta do, but comment on the podcast page what your thoughts were about this episode. DM me on Instagram. Let me know if you want to see more podcast episodes. Should I bring this back? And if you loved this episode and you feel like you just can't get enough and you need more, I have so many episodes on this podcast page that are evergreen content. So I would definitely recommend you to listening to some other of the conversations. All right, enjoy the episode. Excited on multiple levels. One, because I am with the queen of Jewish matchmaking, Eliza Ben Shalom. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And in order of this reunion, I am creating a podcast episode that I haven't done in 3 years. So, Eliza, this is a big deal because this has been demanded by many. And I'm like, no way, but we have to now that I'm talking to you.
Motivation, baby.
You've motivated me, girl. Now, it's so crazy because we saw each other in LA in September before the world ended, which is what I call it, before Rosh Hashanah even began. And we did all these fun little videos for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And now we're in Hanukkah time and it's like such a different vibe altogether. So I think it's so crazy that like the time we are reuniting is like during all of this.
It's just the most unusual times in the entire world. And it was fun. Like, we put together very lighthearted things. And like you said, everybody has this feeling of like, oh my gosh, the world is ending, which really, an ending is really just a new beginning. And it's a very different energy and a very different time right now. Very different.
Definitely. So I have a bunch of questions that I'm going to ask you, and we're going to get into like the war stuff and Hanukkah towards the end. First of all, I feel like I need to shout out our girl Harmony, who is our mutual friend that you saw in New York recently. I just saw her the other night and she told me all about the
Twice.
event. Twice.
Did she tell you what I did? I totally put her on the spot.
I love it. She needs to be put on the spot.
Yeah. We're gonna follow up with her because, she's got some good things going on.
She does. I'm so proud of her and I love you for, putting her in the hot seat. So thank you so much for that. Okay, so we're gonna go through my questions that people have also submitted on like on Instagram, but I also have formulated for you. And the first section is about soulmates. And I was actually talking to a friend last night about this. And we want to know, do you believe in the concept that there's one soulmate? Because I've also read that in your life, you can have up to seven soulmates, which come at different points in your life. And some of them are even like friends that just feel like your soulmates as well. So what do you think about that concept?
Okay. First of all, hashtag obsessed with soulmates. Okay. I am just really into soulmates. I've been doing a lot of research about soulmates. I've been asking everybody I know that knows anything about dating, love, marriage, relationships, and soulmates. Been doing all of my research in, with Jewish wisdom. And it goes like this. So first of all, how many soulmates can you have in a lifetime? You can have one at a time. Okay, make sure you heard the rest of the sentence. You're not going to only have one in a lifetime. You might end up with just having one soulmate, but you can only have one at a time. What do I mean by that? So like, I can't answer days gone by when, people married and multiple people, and that's a whole nother story, not my generation, but my generation. And what we know is that we get to choose one person, and I might think, oh my gosh, you're my soulmate. Okay. How do we make soulmates in this world? The way that we make a soulmate is that we get married, right? In that moment, I pick you, you pick me, we get married, boom. That is the moment that we become soulmates. Before then, we were potential soulmates, right? We had the potential to be soulmates, right? But in this world, we hadn't affirmed it. Marriage is what affirms that you're my soulmate. I picked you, you picked me, and that's it. Okay. Not a life partner, not a marriage partner, soulmate, right? We're talking about the soul. We're talking about like the essence, the core of who we really are. When you affirm that through marriage, that's the moment that you, quote, make a soulmate. That's how you make a soulmate. How many soulmates can you have in a lifetime? Seven's a nice number, but honestly, if you either got married and divorced or married and were widowed and kept getting remarried, how many times would you like to be married? That's about how many soulmates you can have. And I've been asking audiences around the world because I've been doing a lot of speaking engagements. And I'm like, how many times do you know people who've been married? 2, 3. They're like, yeah, 4, 5. Yeah, we even get up to 6 fairly easily, surprisingly, right? 9. 9 is the most times that I've heard of any one person being married. So that person had 9 soulmates. Will I have 9 soulmates? No. I won't, because I cannot see getting married and remarried 9 times. Like, even if it didn't work out, God forbid, or somebody was, passed on, I probably wouldn't end up with 9 soulmates. You got to work at it to have 9 soulmates.
Yeah. Now, if you've dated people that you really felt like they were maybe your potential soulmate, that's possible too, but they didn't
end up being potential.
Uh-huh.
They're just right. And you might feel like, oh my gosh, like you're my person. We didn't pick each other, but it's okay, because you were one of my soulmates. No, you're one of my potential soulmates that either I didn't pick you, you didn't pick me, or we didn't pick each other. That's just potential. And with friends, right? I would talk about friends or other people like they're in your soul family, right? So like you can feel a connection between people where like, oh, we're made of the same stuff, right? We have this deep connection, but I wouldn't describe it as soulmates. Like I take soulmates pretty seriously. That's like my jam.
Yeah, me too. Now along that line, Besharet, which means soulmate, there's a whole debate about, I know people close to me who love me, I'm still single, have said that it is my fault that I'm still single because I haven't put enough effort to find my person, versus like there's another concept that your person will come to you regardless. What is your thought between like your soulmate like coming and being presented to you in some form and the effort versus the effort you have to put into it?
Okay, this is also a really good topic. So the short way of explaining it is that of course, somebody could just come to you without much effort on your part. It just might have been your time, it happened. But in this world, most things we have to put a pretty strong effort into. So again, majority of the people in the world, they're going to have to put an effort into this. For some people, kind of, they'll like win the soulmate lottery in the same way some people will win, the job lottery. Like, well, I just fell into it and it's what I've always loved. And then I got this and then I got that and the door opened and I got a job and that, right? And things just fell into place without too much effort. So in certain areas of our life, we sometimes win the lottery with soulmates, less so. It happens not super frequently. It's very difficult to bring two people together from different families and different backgrounds. And just even if you have very similar traditions, it's still, I come from this and you come from that, and we have to bring ourselves together. So most of the time it takes work. But I would say look, you can't walk into the world and go, whenever it happens, because I have dozens of clients like that who said, I just thought that it was going to happen. You know, like same way that I fell into a job at some point, or same way that I figured it out one day, I decided where I was going to live. Okay, great. Well, you might want to wait for that. But most people don't just want to wait till any age to make this happen. So making an effort, to me, and putting the effort in is smart. But if you did not meet your person, whether you did or didn't put the effort in, but if you did not meet your person, it's because you weren't supposed to meet them yesterday or the day before, and you weren't supposed to marry them then. So will it be tomorrow? I don't know, but it wasn't supposed to be in the past. If it was, it would have happened. If it hasn't happened, then it will happen as we approach the future.
Yeah. Now with that, a lot of people who are married are like, don't worry, it happens in the most unexpected times when you're least looking for it. So I feel that kind of goes with this concept that people are saying like, yeah, you could put your effort in, but like regardless, like whatever effort you put in, it'll just happen.
Yeah, I don't, I'm making a face as you're saying that whole thing. Yeah. I'm like cringing going like, I hate when people say that.
I hate when people
for them, they're telling you that because that's how it happened for them. So for some people out there, it does happen like that. But for a lot of people, they had to work really hard to pull it together, whether they had to go on the apps or they had to get their friends to help set them up or hire a matchmaker or work with a coach or just, you know, move to a new place. Or people have to do stuff just to get, not stuff for the sake of doing it, but because for me to find my person, I have to really know who I am. I really have to be very clear about what works for me, what makes sense for me. Again, not everybody follows this path. Some people are like, I just fell into it and I didn't know, but it all worked out. Okay, good. I'm glad that luck works in your favor. But for most of us, it doesn't really work like that. For most of us, we actually need to be clear about what we're looking for. Because if anything will work for you, then anything will be served to you and you will find anyone to fill the anything role. Yeah. Rather than finding somebody who's really a good fit and a smart fit and a right fit that makes sense for you.
Yes. Now, another real popular question amongst all of my single friends, I'm from LA. I lived in London for a few months. I was in New York for a few weeks. And I'm like, nope, LA is the place that doesn't have the guys. And then I went to London. I'm like, nope, London's not the place. Nope, not New York. So every single person around the world says there's no single people in their city. Why is that so? And why is it so hard to date?
Can you hear me laughing through that whole question?
I feel like I'm okay, Christopher. I feel like I'm Christopher Columbusing around the world to find eligible people.
Okay. Okay. So I have also literally been around the world, Australia, South America, also London, all over the United States, Canada, East Coast and West Coast. Now I've been to Vancouver and Toronto and Montreal. Literally everybody says the same thing. There's no single people here. And if there are, I know them all. I have dated them all. My person is not here. This is like a wasteland of emptiness for single people.
Exactly.
I'm like, well, you definitely shouldn't go anywhere else because they say the same thing. You know, what will be in a new city? There'll be new people in a new city. You probably will still feel like it's empty. I think it's a matter of who we are, you know, like, do we look at the glass half full or do we look at the glass half empty? So I don't care where I put you in the world. If you look at it half empty in LA, when you go to London, it's also going to look half empty. Now you can put on the Aliza goggles for a minute and the Aliza glasses. And I'm going to tell you what Aliza vision looks like. Aliza vision looks like this, right? I go to LA and I'm like, cool, not my people, but who knows my person? You know. Ooh, you might know somebody who could be good for me because like we kind of vibe. Who do you know, right? And I go in, oh, what about you? Maybe. No. Okay. What about you? Maybe. Like I am always seeing and looking for the potential that is there and I'm looking to discover it and uncover it and flesh it out. So if I went to a new city, I'd be like, oh, okay. Well, same old, but let me find my one golden nugget of a connection, like one, ooh, that this made it worthwhile to come to this city. And I would look at it with the glass half full going, my person's in the world, living, breathing, existing. So I have the possibility to find them. And if I'm here, maybe they're here, or maybe they know somebody else who's here. That's Aliza vision. anybody else who looks with anything else, it's just like, it's probably how you look at work and life and job and everything, and especially dating. So it's just, it's perspective. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say it, like lots. It is insanely, painfully normal. When they say it, I can't really keep a straight face anymore. I'm usually good at like the non-judgmental, keep a straight face. And then they're like, and there's no single people here. And I'm going, there's no single people in the world. You're never, don't go anywhere. Don't travel. You're never going to find your person. No. And they're like, what? And I'm like, well, you can't see them. You know, like if you walk around with your eyes closed, it's dark. It's dark. The whole world is dark. So you look at the world dark. I can't help it in single, unless you want to shift your vision. I don't know if I can help you.
Yeah, it's so true. Now, do you think dating apps have affected that mentality that there's no single people? Because ironically, we're swiping and we see so many single people.
It's so ridiculous. All you have to do is change your location and poof, you've got another 597 people that you could swipe. Yeah. Literally, you could just open it up 25, 100, whatever miles, and poof, you can just be in a new city swiping new people. And still the answer is nobody's here. So let me tell you what people mean when they say that nobody's here. What they mean is my soulmate is not here. I haven't seen them and there's nobody even close to them. They don't exist. That's what they're really saying. And the truth is, how many people really have the potential to be your soulmate? So it depends what kind of a person you are, because I have this whole thing,
yeah.
But only a very small percentage of the people in the world look around going like, oh, anybody could be my soulmate and I could pick you and I could be, there's a percentage of people that do that where they're very flexible and they could go out with almost anybody. But most people in the world really can't just go out with anybody and can't really be satisfied with just anybody. They really need to choose them. They really need to be in alignment. So how many people are really, truly in alignment with who you are and what your vision is? Not so many. I asked one guy this and he's like, oh, I don't know, maybe like 100. And I was like, I also couldn't contain my laughter. Wow. You think that there's 100 people that like you could potentially marry? And he's like, you think there's more?
I'm lucky if there's one.
I'm going, well, no, I definitely don't think there's more. Let me ask you a question. How many people have you really liked in your lifetime that you felt like you could have connected, maybe could have married? He's like, I don't know, maybe 4. I was like, 4. And so you think there's 96 more people out there? And he's like, huh. Right. Maybe not. And I was like, right, right. By me, the only person that was relevant to me was my husband. I looked around the whole world. I didn't see anything. I'm sure if I kept dating, I could have found somebody else who like maybe could have fit and maybe would have made sense and could have been another option. But it was very hard. But I'm very clear about who I am. I'm very clear about what I want. And I'm pretty clear about matches and like what makes sense. And so I have a high expectation that things will be in a high degree of alignment, and I have a very low level of flexibility of what will work for me. A lot. Everybody thinks that everybody is that way. About 15% of the people in the world are very unflexible. About 70% of the people in the world they can't figure it out. Like they need help and support figuring out, you know, what works and what doesn't work. And about another 15% of the people in the world are like super flexible.
With that, when you're saying like you knew your husband was the person, like you were only looking at him, I feel like today's world, people are like, there's so many options. So they're looking for so many options. Now, if you have met someone that you are just starting to talk to and you may like, why would people continue to look for other options? Does that mean that they don't see you as an option? Are they trying to keep their options open? Or is it because of the world we live in and there's so many options?
Yes, yes, yes. And maybe something else. I think people in general want to find the best of the best of the best. And they want to do it quickly and efficiently. And they think that the most efficient way to do it is to meet many people, date multiple people, and keep things moving. Also, it makes them feel better like they're doing something as opposed to waiting for the right person to just pop into their life. So they get a little bit busy with things. But it's not like a job where you should just put all of those applications out there and apply to 10 different things and take 10 different interviews. If you're going to do that, yes, but not necessarily at the same time. So ideally date one person, focus on one person, give yourself and them a chance to make something happen. If it doesn't happen, move on. infrequently. We're dating two people because, hey, we just started and nothing's moving here. And I don't know if you like me and I like you, but we'll give it a shot. But I'm not ending it, but I'm starting this. And so sometimes those things happen. Once you start dating three or more people, you just start telling stories and you're like, oh, did I tell you this? You're like, we're on a first date. You told me nothing. And you're like, oh, right. I was already on two other first dates. You know, it's like,
totally.
So I don't like when people, yeah, when you start saying like, oh, did I tell you that? You're dating too many people. Just knock it off. It's not going to help.
Yeah. Now, how do you know if someone is actually the right match for you or if you're just infatuated with them? Because I've had people, I'm like, oh my God, this, I say like the joke with my friends. I'm like, this is my person. I found my person. And in the end, I'm like, oh, definitely that was not my person. And I get really excited and hopeful. So like, how do you actually know if someone is actually a potential person and maybe like just you're infatuated with them?
So time does tell all, right? So like eventually you figure it out and you're like, oh, you weren't my person. You were just awesome, but you're terrible now. time will help you to figure that out. But I do have a whole system that's called Soulmate Clarity. And the whole goal is to figure out, are you my person? Would I want to live with you for a lifetime? Or like, is this really not my thing? And we should probably just move on and, you know, call it a day. If you're feeling the feeling that you just described, like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Lisa, this is amazing. I went out and we had such a good time. And then we went out again. And then, right. That for sure is infatuation. Can it turn into something more than that? It could, but you've got to be like sobered, meaning like the energy has to come down. You have to like hit low. You have to be like, we went through this really tough time together, da, 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 but like, I still like them. We're still in this, like we can make this work. Right. So you have to be kind of brought back into reality. If everything is feeling very fairy tale-esque and amazing and wonderful, and there's just nothing wrong and just everything's moving so smoothly, and then it's definitely infatuation. Definitely. Mm. Like no doubt about it. And I would just wait. It's like fireworks. Wow. And then it's gone. And that usually lasts somewhere between 2 weeks to 2 months, something like that, you know. By month three, people can't hold it together anymore and something starts to fail.
Yeah. How do you let past relationships not affect you in future relationships and self-sabotage you? Like, and how do you know if you're looking at things that happen, like, oh, that's a red flag, or if that's you being scared of things that people have done in the past?
Okay. That is difficult. So first of all, you have to know what your triggers are. You have to know what your fears are. You have to know what over the course of time has been something that is really difficult for you. So I don't know if somebody cheated on you once, right? Now you're going to have this hypersensitivity that every time I go out with somebody, oh my gosh, maybe he's cheating on me. Maybe she's cheating on me. I don't think they're so honest. And you're going to like, oh, I'm going to check their text messages. I'm going to do all these crazy things, which you shouldn't do. Definitely that's a you issue that also may be an issue with them, right? So we have to acknowledge first, this is my thing. Like I don't feel secure and therefore I'm having these other feelings, which is driving me to do things in my relationship that I probably shouldn't be doing. And at the same time, is this person giving you any reason to think that there's going to be a problem? And maybe they are. Maybe, you know, sometimes there's people that have that like wandering eye where they just like, they're looking at you, but you just, you know, that they're also looking at other people when you're in the restaurant and on the street and you're like, is it me? Am I getting that feeling? Okay, that's real. If you're seeing something, like if you see something, you can say something like, hey, how are you? Right? Like I'm over here, right? Yeah. Or like, oh, I notice you have a wandering eye. They're like, no, I don't. Like, oh, okay, maybe you're just a people watcher of only the opposite sex. And you're only, you know, you're only just looking at other people while you're out with me. It just feels weird, right? You might not want to have those uncomfortable conversations, but if you're thinking that that's happening, it's probably happening. But if you're just making up stories in your head, because in the past, something has happened to me, my parents got divorced and I'm afraid that we'll never be able to keep a relationship together. And I think that they're always breaking up with me, but really I'm just self-sabotaging and constantly breaking up with them. Okay, so take a good look and see which side is really doing something. You might not be able to assess this on your own. You might need a coach, a mentor, a therapist, a good friend, somebody else to do this with you to say, well, you know, you were spot on in this instance, but elsewhere, it really didn't, it just, you weren't right. Like there was nothing going on and you just made up a whole story in your head and now you trashed your relationship.
Yeah.
Just to give you an example, Cindy on Jewish Matchmaking, she always said, she's like, Aliza, I just self-sabotage. I'm like, you know what? I don't even need to set you up. All I have to do is wait to go out with somebody and just make sure that you don't break up before you really need to break up and that you don't self-sabotage, because you might be really good at picking your own people and you're just not good at filtering through and letting yourself get comfortable. And that was something that we really worked on. And she just got married a couple weeks ago.
So exciting. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Is there a difference between wanting to marry someone and being ready to marry someone?
I like that question. Wanting to marry somebody versus being ready to marry somebody. It's hard for me to answer. I think that in general, being ready to be married means being ready to combine your life together, being ready to deal with finances and living and expenses and dreams and future. Like we're looking at something. Like, am I ready for you? Or if I'm not ready, am I not ready for the situation? Like I've had people tell me, Aliza, I was dating. I didn't really expect to meet my person. I know it takes a really long time and it's so hard. And so I just started now because I figured, hey, when it happens and I'll be, you know, whatever. And then it's like, of course, the first or second person that they meet and it just works out. And they're like, I don't know if I'm ready. Right. It could be that it's totally the right person, but I just don't know that I'm ready for this whole situation. I think it's something that we have to pick apart individually. I don't think there's like a generic piece of advice or wisdom. I would say some people are ready to move ahead and then like they question whether it's the right person, and other people know it's the right person, but they might not be ready to move ahead, but it might have nothing to do with it. Like, I'm not ready to move ahead, but it's not you. You and I are great. This is perfect. I just didn't plan to be at this stage in my life right now. I didn't know that's where I was going to get at this moment. And it's a little hard for me to handle.
Interesting. Okay. So it's a little complex and it's like, you have to break it down in the terms of dating. A few questions in this. Do you believe in playing games?
What kind of games? No, I'm kidding. I know what kind of games you're talking about. Let's play Scrabble. Yeah. I believe in what I would call the push pull. I believe in the tension, the sexual tension, the energy between a couple that needs to exist, that fuels the relationship. So if you're like, well, I'm just going to be straight. Like, I like you and you like me and this could just work. And like, let's just see where we're going from here. Right. So for somebody who's not exactly ready, that could be a huge turnoff. Well, you like me, but I don't really know how much I like you. And like, oh, I don't want to lead you on. So like, maybe I'll just cut this off because like you seem really into this and I'm not there yet. And poof, your relationship's over. So it's not about games as much as it is about moving at a pace that the relationship can handle. And sometimes that means not sharing everything. So people get like all up in arms, like, well, they weren't honest. They didn't share how they were really feeling. And I was like, oh, had they done that, you'd have freaked out and run. So what good would that have done us? Why are we sharing everything? They're like, but they weren't honest. And I was like, you can't handle the truth. You know, we're having this whole debate. So I do like an amount of energy exchange that creates this push-pull. There will always be one side that is more in than the other. Okay. So even if two people are both in, there's always one that rises to the top that's in and the other one that's just below. Sometimes there's somebody that's in and somebody that's like maybe almost in, right? So there's always this energy of somebody that's in and somebody that's not. And the job is for the person who is in to just back off a little bit and let the other person catch up to where they're at and to share just the right amount at the right time, which is so vague. And if you gave me a scenario, I could break it down for you, but I literally can't give you, you know, the dozens of scenarios that there could be for this, but that's the best way to explain it.
Amazing. Now, how do you solidify a second date after a first good one?
Right. So it depends who's doing the asking out. Modern day, anybody asks anybody out is kind of how it goes. I would say that I would show interest. I would follow up. I would say like, I had a nice time. This was lovely. Or in the conversation, like not at the end, forget about the end, somewhere in the middle where, you know, like, I want to get to know you more. You can drop the line like, oh, next time when we get together, I'll tell you about such and so. Like, don't give them everything. Hang on so that you can share something else. So you want to indicate that as you're moving along. And people are like, but I don't know. What if they don't like me? I was like, great. So they'll say no.
Yeah.
No, it's very clear, but you should give a hint or an indication, not like, oh, well, you know, when we go on our second date, we can talk about that. No, no, no. It has to be a little more playful, a little bit more loose than that.
Mm. Someone who asked a question in the Instagram stories about dating before moving to a city. They wanted to make Aliyah to Israel and they're like, should I wait until I get there? And I've also had this issue of like, I've wanted to maybe date in other cities, but then like, maybe I'm not moving there. And they're like, oh no, we're not in the same city. And they automatically cancel you out. So what do you think about dating in different cities? And maybe if you don't live in the same city at the moment, or maybe ever.
So I think if you want to date in other cities, you have to be clear either A, I hope one day to move there so that it shows them that you're the one that's willing to relocate, or hey, I'm totally cool with dating long distance, although I love my city and I'd love to have a chance to show you why I think you should move here too, right? So this is an example of where I would say, don't play games, like don't mess around. Just tell the truth. I want to move there one day, or I just don't mind dating long distance. I'm never moving to you, but maybe you'll move to me. Mm-hmm. I think that that's really important. And if you don't want, if you're okay with where you live or somewhere else, but not where they live, it's also okay to say like, but here's a list of the cities that I love that one day I'd love to live in. You could give a list like that.
Mm-hmm. So don't automatically cancel someone out, and you can kind of talk to them and see.
Exactly.
All right. Now into the war and Hanukkah section of the program. We are in a war for the past 2 months, and everyone, I think, can have say that they have like such emotional exhaust about everything going on in the world. But for those of us who are single, we also need to focus on dating. So do you have any tips for dating around, you know, during these times when it's so emotionally saddening and draining?
I would tell people to have real conversations. This is a great heart opener. A lot of people are in a position where finally they are ready to make a commitment. The war has kind of put the fear of the end of the world into them. And therefore they are much more open to, oh my gosh, I don't want to die alone. I need to find my partner now. It's like this rush to do it as the world heats up. We saw the same thing happen actually during Corona. A lot of people were feeling that intense pressure. So it seems like international crises are very good for dating, love, and matchmaking. Ooh, so sorry to say it like that. But that's what we're actually seeing. And I would use the momentum of the time to say, make an effort to meet people, make an effort to talk to people and connect to people and have real heart to hearts. You can't go on a date and just be a depressing human like, oh my gosh, I haven't been able to get out of bed in the last 2 months and it's just been horrible. And it's not fun to date somebody like that. So we do have to bring a little bit of our personal energy back into us and the date itself, but you can have real conversations where, you know, it's been really hard these last couple of months and whatever the story is, you know, I lost a cousin, had a friend, everybody has a story to tell. So I think that those things are heart openers when we are able to share those things, or even just, I don't have anybody there, but I just can't stop thinking about it. It's just, you know, it's so heartbreaking. And this has been
Right now we are in Hanukkah, and what we did before for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot is having themes that go with each holiday. And this is the holiday of miracles. So what kind of message or inspiration can you give to people about Hanukkah and dating during this month and this holiday?
It literally is a miracle every single time it happens that we bring two people together and we are able to build a whole new life out of it. It's what fuels our communities. It's what fuels the world and makes it a place that is worth living for a lifetime here. And so the same way that the Maccabees fought, right? They had to fight for their Judaism. They had to fight for their lives. We should fight for our soulmates. We should fight to find them. We should fight to go through this process. And we should fight our internal talk that tells us, oh, they don't exist and they're not here and it's never going to happen, because a lot of people have a lot of negative self-talk. And I would just tell you, they are here and they do exist. And it is going to happen. When? Please God, very soon. And make the efforts that are great for you that can help you to get through day by day, wake the smile on your face and not crush you as you go through the process.
Mm. And a quick follow-up to that. There's so many Hanukkah events going on right now. And for single people, this is the time to go to events, but there's a big thing of like event exhaust and also not wanting to spend all of your efforts and getting disappointed when you go and stuff like that. So do you have any tips for like being able to, you know, choose what's best for you and not feel guilty if you don't go to an event or don't get disappointed if you don't meet anyone?
Yeah. First of all, pick the events that you like. Don't go to an event because it's a smart event for you to go to because there's going to be a lot of people there. Don't pick that event unless you like a lot of people and that type of event. Choose the event that is really going to put a smile on your face. Whether you meet your person or you don't meet your person, you'll be happy that you actually attended and you went to that event. That's number one. And number two is dating fatigue doesn't really look good. So I would rather you go to fewer events, but put a, you know, genuine smile on your face. Know that I'm either going to meet my person, which might happen at any point in time, or potentially meet somebody who knows my person. So if my person is not there, right, this is my event advice, right? Walk into an event, stand back along the wall, scout the room, literally just look around the whole room and be like, If you scan the whole room and you're like, not a human in here that I want to date. No problem. Look for a human in there that you could be a friend with. It doesn't matter who they are. As long as you think that you like, just by like first glance, like, oh, you're a human I would want to meet. Go talk to them and see if they have another connection to somebody else. Because either your person is there or somebody who knows your person is there or 6 degrees of separation. So I always assume if you are there, you're meant to be there and you're doing something there that's important. And we just need to come out with one golden connection.
I just want to add to that. I went to a Hanukkah event last night. There's two that were like the really big ones and one that was in Silver Lake. And if you know LA, Silver Lake is so random. Like why people are like, why are you going to Silver Lake for a Hanukkah event? And me and my friend were like, you know what? This one speaks to us. We walk in and we're like, are we entering a bat mitzvah? It literally looked like it was decorated for a bat mitzvah. And there were like 20 people maximum. And we're like, this is the saddest party, but they had really cute stations. And me and my friend made the best of it. We made friends with other girls. Two of our guy friends came. We made a whole night afterwards and went to different places and literally had the best night.
Yeah. And I don't know. In a month from now, one of those connections might call you and say, hey, actually, we met at that Hanukkah thing and I've got a suggestion for you. You don't know. Like you walk in and you're like, oh, there's only 20 people. We could have gone to somewhere where there were 350. It's not about everyone's like, oh, it's a numbers game. It's not a numbers game. It's just, are you my person game? And just looking in places that don't give you dating and life fatigue. We need people to have energy to go through the process. So by me, you made the right decision.
Yes, I do. I think so too. Now, last question. We were in Rosh Hashanah when we met. It's going to be 2024. I considered like this September to end of December, like two New Years that we go through of like self-evaluation. If you're single, you're like, oh, I'm still single by the end of this New Year too. So what kind of advice can you give to people who are feeling really down and like maybe like not motivated or feeling really upset during all of this holiday exhaust?
Okay. So first of all, as life continues, you are older and wiser. So with every passing day and every passing experience, you have more life experience and more wisdom. And I think that's something very special that you have to acknowledge that this is a benefit, not a detriment, because before then, you know, you weren't as wise. You didn't have enough, you know, wisdom about life in the world to be able to navigate it as gracefully as you do now. That's first of all. And second of all, your person is coming to you in the time that they should be coming to you. And if it wasn't yesterday and it wasn't Rosh Hashanah and it's not tomorrow, then the next day is still a possibility. And it's always going to be a no until it's a yes. So you're going to have far more failures, so to speak, and far more no's than you are going to have yeses. But there's a total blessing in a no, because it just helps us to avoid all the wrong people and to only focus on the right ones. And there's so few right situations that when you find a decent and a good right situation, don't walk away from it. Don't be like, oh, is there something better? Because I'm going to ask you, was there something better at that Hanukkah party? Was there something better 2 years ago? No. So this is better. So stick with it and let's see how far we can take it.
Amen. I love it. Thank you so much, Aliza. Everyone go follow her on Instagram. I'll tag it in the show notes for this podcast and watch Jewish Matchmaking if you haven't seen.